In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is going to be just a pretty typical Franciscan sermon. And in it, I'd like to touch upon two points. First, the absolute primacy of Christ. Then, the redemption as a work of recapitulation, and finally, practical consequences that flow from these two. I'd like to begin with the absolute primacy of Christ. And I begin by stating that God's plans for us do not change. God does not change. His plans for us are eternal and not subject to change. Now, God had a plan for us before sin occurred. God had a plan not just for us, but for the whole universe, and for all that exists, from before sin occurred, from before Adam and Eve were created, from before anything else was created. God already had his plans. Now, Adam and Eve, first reading from Genesis, Adam and Eve, the first parents, the first human beings, did not collaborate in that plan. They, in fact, violated God's precept not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to not just know the difference between good and evil, they wanted to experience evil itself. And thanks to them, we experience evil now, sin and its consequences. But even when that happened, even when the original sin of our first parents occurred, God's plans nonetheless did not change. And we'll get back to that in just a second. Let's just look at God's plan for us in detail. A quote from St. John Paul II in his long pontificate. His teaching touched upon almost every aspect of Catholic doctrine. St. John Paul II says, God's saving plan, the mystery of his will for every creature, is described in the letter to the Ephesians with a distinctive term, to recapitulate all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. This image of recapitulation, doing some biblical analysis, this image could also refer to the roll which was wrapped around the parchment or papyrus scroll of the volume of a written text, giving the impression, giving rather the message, giving the image that Christ gives a single meaning to all the syllables, words, and works of creation and history. Christ recapitulates everything. That's God's plan for us from all eternity. Just look at that letter to the Ephesians for a second. And St. Paul, in it, says, Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will. Before the foundation of the world, we have been chosen by God to be holy and blemish in his sight. Okay? This, in case you're wondering, is a build-up to that final statement of the absolute primacy of Christ and what this teaching means. Benedict XVI, so another pontiff, comments even further. At the end, we'll summarize this in simple terms, okay? So just be patient. It'll hopefully make sense at the end. Benedict XVI says, commenting on Ephesians, being chosen by God, this is his will for us, to be chosen by him, even before the world's creation, in the Son, in Jesus Christ. So these two thoughts are eternally in God's mind from the beginning, well, not even from the beginning, from eternity, apart from the prevision of not only sin, but Adam and Eve themselves. Therefore, in him, we have existed, so to speak, forever in his mind. God contemplates us in Christ as his adoptive sons. This divine initiative comes before every human response. It is a freely given gift of his love that envelops and transforms us. All right, so now restating that in simpler terms, hopefully. God has a plan for us from all eternity. What is it? God's plan for us, God's plan for creation, God's plan for the universe is to share in everything that is ours. That's God's plan, to share in everything that is ours, in our humanity, so as to make us sharers in that which is his divinity. That's God's plan, to become a son of man, to share in our humanity, so that we can become sons of God, sons and daughters of God, heirs to eternal life. In this context of the absolute primacy of Christ, Christ is first. The incarnation is in God's mind regardless of sin. It is not a consequence of the sin of Adam and Eve. It is planned and willed regardless of it, even if it did not happen, even if sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, had not occurred. The incarnation still would have occurred because God's plan, his original plan from eternity, is to be a sharer in that which is ours, to be a son of man so as to make us sons of God. And this teaching on the absolute primacy of Christ is a very profoundly Franciscan teaching, articulated particularly by Blessed John Duns Scotus. The absolute primacy of Christ and his mother, they are first, predestined by one and the same decree, as later on the magisterium of the church would begin to teach as well. Now, this is important to remember because we owe nothing to sin in this perspective. We have nothing to be grateful for to Adam and Eve that they had sinned. The greatest of God's works, our greatest benefit and grace from God, divine sonship, is not due to sin. It's in God's mind regardless of sin. Nothing good ever comes from sin. God, again, when sin occurs, not everything is lost. But if sin doesn't occur, then absolutely nothing is lost. Nothing is gained. There's never anything to be gained by sin, ever. Absolutely, period. There is never anything to be gained by sin. And nothing is ever lost by choosing not to sin. Absolutely, without exceptions, period. Now let's go on to the recapitulation, okay? There will be practical consequences at the end. Sin, nonetheless, does happen, okay? Thanks to Adam and Eve, it does occur. And the incarnation becomes redemptive. But God does not abandon his original plan. It's the other thing. For God, there are no irreparably broken things, despite what might be said today. For God, nothing is irreparably broken. Especially marriages. A sacramental marriage in the eyes of God is never irreparably broken, no matter what lies we might hear today. God restores what is broken and pursues his plan anyway. So the incarnation occurs, we can say, not just regardless of, but despite sin. Not thanks to sin, not due to sin, but despite of it. And God restores what is broken in the same way that it was broken. Because again, nothing is irreparably broken for him. Christ recapitulates Adam. Mary recapitulates Eve. What Adam and Eve did wrong, Jesus and Mary do right. Whereas Adam and Eve did fall into temptation, Adam and Eve conquer it. The recapitulation atonement by recapitulation theory can be formulated in the following words of one theologian. In the fall of our first parents, what happens? Two were involved, though on different levels. One was Adam, the head of our race, and as such, he would have brought original sin upon us even if he alone had sinned, because he was the head of the human family. But with him was a helper like himself, or at least she was supposed to be a helper. She didn't really help him. But with him was a helper like himself, his spouse, Eve. Since Eve was not the head of the human race, she could not have caused the disaster alone. Even after Eve had fallen into sin and eaten of the fruit, had Adam told her, "What are you doing, Eve? Give me that," and imposed a penance upon her, we would not have, as a human family, contracted original sin if Adam had resisted the temptation of his wife. Yet she did what she could, and Adam was no smarter than she was, and she likewise seduced him, both ate of the fruit, and in cooperation with Adam really did contribute to bringing down the anger of God upon mankind. God willed that there should be a similar, though antithetic, pair in the reparation of original sin. This is what the fathers of the church teach. One was the new Adam, Christ, who alone had the power to redeem us, whose sacrifice by itself was superabundant, but with him was also the new Eve along his side. And although of herself she had no power to redeem us, yet with him, through him, and by him, she was enabled to cooperate. Alongside of the Redeemer, she became the co-redemptrix. And in this way, by God's will, they both merited our salvation. The new Adam and the new Eve, the Redeemer, and associated to him by his own will, the co-redemptrix. Because for God, there is nothing irreparably broken. He doesn't have to throw things away and start anew. He fixes what's broken. Now, the practical consequences of all this, and you might think to yourself, I should have just said this and nothing more. We would have been here 15 minutes less. But the practical consequences are the following. It started with Eve. Sin started with Eve. The redemption starts with the new Eve, with Mary. Eve was supposed to be a helper of Adam, and she was supposed to be the mother of the living, not just in a biological sense, but together with Adam, she was supposed to transmit original justice to the human family. She failed at both. The new Eve, likewise, is a helper to Christ. But unlike the old Eve, Mary does not fail. Eve loses what's entrusted to her. Mary preserves it, does not lose it. She keeps it and keeps it safe. She preserves the children given to her by God. And whoever belongs to her, whoever belongs to Mary, this new Eve who does not fail, whoever belongs to her, whoever consecrates himself to her, gives himself to her as her property, will not be lost. He will not stray from the right path, or if he strays, Our Lady will bring him back to that straight and narrow path. He will come back to it more promptly and persevere on it till the very end. The practical consequence is that we need to consecrate ourselves to the new Eve, who does not lose that which is given to her, that which is consecrated to her, that which is her property and possession. We must enter into that refuge of her Immaculate Heart and stay in it, and daily renew our commitment to abide in it, to dwell in it by praying the Holy Rosary. And thereby, by praying it every single day, meditating on the mysteries of the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the true heads of humanity, we will slowly assimilate these fruits of the redemption and Our Lady's co-redemption. And Our Lady will help us to be transformed by God's grace and to abide in holiness all the days of our life till the very end, and to, in this way, inherit eternal life. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Fructum ventris tui.